It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Scotty Johnny himself, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hello, Shorzy. How's it going, John? a wonderful weekend we had. Thank God the Bucks are winning right now. Pulling back the curtain, fourth wall, it is Monday night, so the Bucks game's going on. But otherwise, besides that, we don't have a lot of winning to talk about or much else, John.
No, we'll muddle our way through.
My home team won in the playoffs, so they're going to be in sectionals next weekend.
Well,
so
congrats to the Lakers.
The Turtle Lake Lakers on their victory over Blair.
Just Blair?
It's a hyphenated. It's Blair. I forget what it is. But convincing win, too. I'll look at you. You talk about the rest of the show. I'll talk about my team in a little bit.
All right. Well, he figures out who Blair's joined up with. We'd like to remind you that, of course, you can follow this show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Not So Humble Host. Aaron's looking things up, so I'll save us all 5 minutes and say you can find him at Cheddar Talk on
at
Twitter.
Cheddar Talk.
Also, you can find our show. We have it on our Facebook page. You can also find us on our webpage where we do post a lot of our stuff and sometimes random little articles as well about other things that we're thinking about. But of course, this was not the greatest week. We were at least saved from anything with the Badgers in terms of football, but we have several other things to work out. And it is Blair Taylor.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know their mascot, but I was going back to my dad's text because he was keeping me up on this. And after a tight week the week before, they barely got into the playoffs after beating Clear Lake, which is a rival right down the street from us, 20-0, Clear Lake, Wisconsin. It's about 10 miles down Highway 63 from Turtle Lake. And that was our big rival in high school, so you got to get past that game. And then they went on to beat Blair Taylor 44-6. And my dad, who's giving me play-by-play via text, two interceptions, block punt, and three touchdowns in the first quarter. That's how you get it done, boys. And they're on to play Bangor next week.
I think it's Bangor, isn't it?
Banger. Yes, we can do lots of jokes about that town saying. But yes, over by Onalaska.
Yeah, not far from Onalaska or West Salem area there. Also, absolutely. Blair Taylor is in the Trempealeau County. Whitehall is the county seat. I've been in that county several times, practiced there. Also, it has one of my favorite high schools, Gale Ettrick Trempealeau, known as GET High School or Get High.
Yes. That's what
not that I do. It's just funny.
As soon as they said Blair, I was thinking Blair Trempealeau, and I was like, no, that's not it, because there's a couple hyphenated towns down there in the Trempealeau area because they're all small towns and they're all joined up together just to, you know, to have enough kids to have a high school. And I was like, no, because Trempealeau's Gale Ettrick Trempealeau. And then Blair Taylor. Independence was another town there on highway 95 that runs between La Crosse and Eau Claire.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, I'm forgetting.
Anyways, Independence, and then Oliva Strum. Oliva Strum, I have a lot of relatives from Oliva Strum. And Independence was the team that we beat the year that we went on to win state in 1996. Thank you very much.
I'm trying to look up what they are. They have some sort of wildcat face as their mascot on their school page.
I had a 50-yard touchdown catch against Independence. So
I scored zero touchdowns. They didn't give the tackle the ball a lot in my high school.
No.
Anyhow, Aaron, there's going to be plenty of time for us to get far off topic and far afield today.
Okay.
But let's get started with all the horribleness that was our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron.
I didn't watch after the third quarter. I'm sorry. I'm that fan. Like, I get really riled up for close games and for blowouts and when we play the Bears and other you know, the Vikings, even the Lions. I still get riled up for Tampa Bay because I'm just, you know, from the old days, right?
Yeah. Named after a body of water and not a city. Tampa Bay is not a city. It's a body of water.
Right. Tampa is the town. But I gave up. I don't know, John. Am I a bad fan? But in San Diego, I don't care about San Diego. I don't. They play in a soccer stadium.
So actually, I'm going to get to some of the interesting parts of here of what I think on this. And I've heard this part, which is an interesting thing that I think gets underplayed to a certain extent. I don't think it was the main part of this, but they play in a small soccer stadium. It holds 27,000 people. That is the max capacity. They're looking to expand to 30,000 for the Galaxy or whatever. And it's a small stadium. And here's the thing that they said that is actually kind of interesting. The shadows are vastly different because it's not a tall stadium. So
well, I was noticing that during the game. There were some weird shadows in that game.
Yeah. Here's the best part is like home field advantage has a lot to do with it. I mean, it can't change much in terms of the field, right? The field is 120 by 55 across, I think. Is it 55 or 53?
You sound like Gene Hackman on Hoosiers right now.
Right, yeah. You're measuring it. It's all the same. There's differences between turf and types of grass.
Free throw line is 15 feet and the basketball hoop's 10 feet high.
Turns out that's true. But
just as big as our gym in Hickory.
Yes. Not the greatest Gene Hackman impression, but dead on still in terms of lines. Anyhow, the fields are all very different.
My Gene Hackman impersonation is a little rusty these days. Right. Sorry.
Yeah. Our Letterkenny impressions were better on before the show than what we had there.
Spot on.
But anyhow, what I'm trying to say is like, yeah, the fields change because like, you know, you have turf in, you know, like Minnesota, Chicago, you have 3 foot tall grass. Green Bay, you have $1 million field, which literally has like, it's $1 million field. They have sewn in plastic things into the grass that actually make it stronger and give something for the roots to grow around. Actually means you don't have to replace the grass on it at all. They don't resod that field.
But makes it slippery at the end of October, as we found out.
There's something with the equipment people on that because nobody else was slipping, just the home team. Right. Or you could be playing on just dirt if you were playing in Washington.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh or Washington. Washington's the worst field. Do you remember, hard pan.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when there was that punt in Pittsburgh that just stuck?
That was in Miami, wasn't it?
No, that was in
Pittsburgh? Okay.
It was in Pittsburgh. There was a rain punt day, it rained and there was big clunk. And it just happened to land in a divot and that punt just stuck. It didn't move.
That's right, because it was a Pittsburgh Colts game, wasn't it?
Right, and that was at the point when they finally said, because remember the big thing in Pittsburgh was, no, we're always going to have a real turf field, and after that, next season, they actually got some reinforcement. They have the kind of same field as the Packers do now. But
good, then that makes them only the second team in football to actually grow that, because it's a great idea.
It's something like that, like it's reinforced turf or something. I don't know. I might just be making that up. I don't know. There's no facts with me, John. You know
that's true.
But Pittsburgh hasn't had problems with that. Anyways, so moving along.
Yes.
Shadows.
Yeah, shadows and stuff like that. So you say the fields are different. The biggest thing in football that gives you a big difference is the construction of the stadium, the way the shadows fall, the way the temperature affects your field, things like that. Those are what gives you home field advantage. The Bears get some home field advantage by the fact that the city of Chicago is responsible. The Parks Department for the city of Chicago is responsible for cutting their grass, and they're saying, we don't care. We don't want to do it, so we just won't. So the Bears always have the longest grass in football, which makes every game slower, which plays into the advantage of their defense. The Packers play in one of the coldest outdoor places, still on real grass, other than like Buffalo. Buffalo's still outdoors. They have a home field advantage with that. Miami plays and whatever it is that happens down there. But here's the big thing, too, is like
Miami has they have a professional football team.
Oh. It's actually a really cool stadium, and I loved the atmosphere there. It really does play to the local feel. I went there, and it was great. The fans were great.
You mean where the Dolphins play?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I ever get down to Miami during football season, I should probably this year if we go down, we're kind of half planning. Maybe, but it might not happen because it's short notice. But you can get tickets to a Dolphins game for $5.
Trina, my wife, and I, for our 10th anniversary 5 years ago, we went down to Miami because the Packers were playing there like days after our anniversary. So it was the game immediately following, pardon me, our anniversary. And so I was like, I tried to surprise her and got her tickets, and we got tickets to the game and everything. I tried to doing it from an account she couldn't see and stuff. And it really was a great atmosphere. I mean, we were in club seats, so it's hard to be too upset.
Right.
People were having a great time. It was the game where Rodgers faked the spike and threw it to Corliss for the win. It was a fun time. It's outside of town a little ways. You have to take a cab out there, generally speaking, or there's probably shuttles from other places. But yeah, it's a fun place. We were on the club level. They had a ridiculous amount of cool memorabilia. This is the best Packers talk, I guess, ever, and that we're not talking about a team the Packers were ever playing. It was a cool stadium, and it was a cool experience. I love going on the road with the Packers. In this case, though, there's nothing cool about the stadium. It's that they do have that little bit of home field advantage in the fact that the stadium is so different from any other type of stadium you play in. I don't think that's what
did
it.
I mean, it's still Joe Robbie, right?
Whatever it's called now. It was like Landshark for a while, too.
It was Joe Robbie forever, and then it was Blockbuster Stadium, and then it was Landshark. It's still just what Joe Robbie used to be, right, with the spiral staircases up on the corners?
Yeah, and they put some more overhang over the fans just in case it's raining. But anyhow, it's not as good as what was the name of the stadium? It's some stupid name that they have for this stadium that they play in, and it was beautiful in how dumb a name it was.
I love bluecarpet.com stadium or something like that.
Something crazy. Like that. It was, and I'll think about it as I'm looking through. It is Dignity Health Sports Park.
Where the Chargers play
is Dignity Health Sports Park.
The Chargers are going to end up back in San Diego. You watch. They will end up back in San Diego because they're learning really quickly that they're not going to have a fan base, and they're not going to be able to fill up that big new stadium that they'll be sharing with
that they'll be
Rams.
Renting from the Rams. They will be paying the Rams rent to play in that stadium. It's ridiculous.
There's an NFL stadium in San Diego, and I don't know who owns it, but I'm guessing that they could probably go back to that for cheaper than what they're going to rent. And there is a fan base in San Diego. Like they had no problem filling their stadium before. I still don't understand that move. It was just a total money grab by a bunch of billionaire owners. That's what that whole thing was.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah. as long as there's not anything worth talking about in the game. So another thing I heard was that the Vikings played and lost to the NFC North lost this weekend. Just so you know, all four teams lost.
0-4. Yeah.
And the Vikings and the Lions were the only two that actually showed any life. The Bears and the Packers were both pretty pathetic.
Yes.
But a lot of Vikings fans are having regret now because when the Wolves were originally imagining a new stadium for the Vikings out in Arden Hills, they wanted it to look like Arrowhead Stadium with the big parking lots for the tailgating and this, that, and the next thing. And Kansas City from the Twin Cities is about 6 hours away. So there was and I caught parts of the game. There was a lot of Vikings fans at that Chiefs game. And it's the first time that the Vikings have played the Chiefs since they built the new stadium. And now Vikings fans are having buyer's regret.
They want
that Arrowhead Stadium out in Arden Hills because the tailgating was awesome and the fields and there's just a giant parking lots with all the cars and all the red and everything, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome game day experience.
Because there's no tailgating where they are in Minnesota. There's nothing. But here's the thing.
Yeah, well, I remember when that was up for grabs, everyone was like, no, it has to be downtown. It has to be. And it's like,
let me tell you here, because I was living in the Twin Cities as they were proposing the whole idea of moving out to Arden Hills, which is in Ramsey County. There are several counties around the Twin Cities area. There's like Scott. Is it Buffalo right there?
Yeah.
There's Ramsey. There's Hennepin. There's several of those different counties,
right,
all meeting in that one area. Not like, you know, St. Louis is actually just in the city of St. Louis doesn't have a county St. Louis in Missouri. That's not true for Kansas City. I forget what county that's in. you know, Green Bay is in Brown County and things like that. So there's all those other things going on there. The Vikings had a deal in place with Ramsey County to build a stadium in Arden Hills. It was going to be cool. The entire plan was put in the papers, and I was living in the Twin Cities at the time. I was in Savage, which is a great name for a city because I could talk about my Savage dog and my Savage children here in my Savage yard and the Savage park out the back. But anyhow, it was they had this whole big plan. It was going to be like the whole, kind of like Titletown now. They were going to have this area you could park. You would walk through this large fan built up area where it was going to be shopping. So they could have 365 days worth of shopping and activities and concerts and everything. And then you would walk through this whole big area and then you would get to the stadium. And this whole thing set out and the whole proposal was in the paper and it was beautiful and it was cool. And I was like, that's actually kind of interesting. Turns out the Vikings were such cheapskates. Ziggy Wilf was such an incredible turd about the whole thing. After he had the deal in place with Ramsey County, he started continuing to negotiate with like Hennepin County and Scott County, which is where I was. And they're like, and of course, Ramsey County figured this whole thing out. And all the counties said, forget you were done with the Vikings. You guys are backstabbing two timing players. You're not sticking to the deal you had in place with Ramsey County. Mm-hmm. And they went back downtown because nobody wanted them. They went there because it was the last resort. Every other team who was playing the Metrodome got out. It's not a great spot to have a stadium. And people in Minnesota do this. The great defense is always like, well, so it's a great spot. The light rail goes there. And you're like, do you know what? If you'd have built a stadium anywhere else, they'd have built the light rail, out to the stadium.
Right. And so, John, I pulled up a map and all the counties that you're talking about. So Ramsey County is St. Paul so Hennepin is Minneapolis, Shakopee, is the northern part of Scott County. Carver County is Chaska. Dakota is to the southeast and Anoka is to the north. Right.
Yeah. Chaska, Chanhassen area too. Chanhassen Dinner Theater. Very good.
Chaska's in Carver County. That's where Prince lived. And just so everyone knows, so John lived in the Twin Cities, as he said. I grew up just outside of the Twin Cities, and until a year and a half ago, I lived in Duluth, Minnesota. So, we're both KFAN fans. Like we listen to the Minnesota Vikings flagship station because they just have really good programming
and a Packers show pregame show in the morning. Right.
Yes, they do. Yes. And I grew up watching Twin Cities stations. So like because I grew up 40 miles on the Wisconsin side of the border, but 40 miles outside of the Twin Cities. So we're very in tune to what happened in the Twins or what happens in the Twin Cities. And it's a garbage show. Like it wasn't even that. And the whole thing is too, is that, so the Wilfs were getting their pockets lined by the downtown businesses, because if you move the Vikings out to, you know, somewhat rural Ramsey County, that's going to pull money from downtown. So, yeah. So basically, for being a socialist state, they are the most, they are ridiculous as far as just like just giving in to the big bucks. God, they love the big bucks in Minnesota. So that's what I think about the Packer game. It wasn't worth talking about, John. It was a turd.
The biggest thing that we need to talk about with this team is that here's where I'm going to talk it all to. This is the first time this season, I'm trying not to pound a table here, the first time this season that we realized we have a first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. This is the first time it mattered. Mm-hmm. We got lucky, ridiculously lucky in the way that the schedule played out for a team like us. I mean, I guess in the way it played out, the way I looked at it at first was a little scary because we had two division games early. We started with two right away. Mm-hmm. We got lucky in winning those. We played one of them at home, one on the road, beat the Bears, which that was the game we were planning for the whole preseason, was getting ready to beat the Bears. We had a bunch of time to get ready for that game. Also, it turns out the Bears still suck. And Mitchell Trubisky is not an NFL quarterback, but that's a different conversation for maybe later when we still have time to fill.
I just sent something just before the show to your Twitter account, @NotSoHumbleHost. very funny, put up by a Chicago Bears fan site where it says, "Man, these Madden games are more realistic than ever." And it's just a shot of it's about a 3-second clip of the Trubisky rolling back in the pocket, pulling a 180 and throwing the ball backwards across the field. Yes.
Yeah. But anyhow,
they are. You think Packers fans are bad about Trubisky? The Bears fans right now are.
I love it because they were all. How many millions of dollars from the Chicago area were bet on Trubisky being MVP? Because there was a lot of money put on that.
Oh my God.
Anyhow, big thing I was trying to say with that is they got very lucky in that they had a lot of home games up front. They've already played five at home in the first eight games. They played five at home. Got very lucky with that. We also have a very late bye week. In that regard, it gave the team a chance to have a lot of home games, a lot of comfort while they were still going through their growing pains with a new head coach. This was a road game, not just a road game, but a road game on the West Coast. There's two time zones difference going out there, playing in a stadium that's very different than any other NFL stadium. This was really the first big road game against a good, not a good, but at least a professional team. All right. We're not playing the Dolphins out there. We're playing a team with a very good quarterback, not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but a good quarterback.
A team that's also been thrust into a really, a really crappy situation with being in a little tiny soccer stadium. Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. I mean, they've got good running backs. They've got good wide receivers. They're a good team. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff working against them, and they were a desperate team.
Wide receivers. They have a brand new offensive coordinator because they fired Wisenhunt, who exists to get fired. They also got Melvin Gordon back, 3 weeks ago? So he's only just hitting his stride of getting back. This is as if we caught him game one. Healthiest he'll be, most prepared he'll ever be for a game. He was definitely very good in this game.
Eckler is legit, by the way.
Eckler is very good, too.
Yeah.
This is one thing. Those two running backs are better than R2, and R2 are good. R2 are very good.
Yeah, they may be 1A, 1B for, like, combo running backs, and I hate to give the Vikings credit, but they have a pretty good running back combo, too, with
Madison?
Madison. Yeah.
Madison's okay. I don't know if we've seen enough of him to say that he's anything more than okay at this point. No,
because Cook is ridiculous.
But I definitely drafted him on a Dynasty League this year.
Right, exactly. Like, if you drafted them in the first three rounds of Fantasy Draft, you know that they're worth it. So
no, Dynasty League rookie-only draft, redrafted him in mid-second round, Madison. I think that was a good place to get him. Because
either way, the Chargers running backs are Austin Eckler would be a number one running back on most other teams.
It's like having Michael Turner. Is it Michael Turner, right? Yeah. Atlanta.
Michael Turner. Yep.
Back when they had Tomlinson and Turner and Drew Brees and didn't get to an AFC championship game. But yeah.
Could Williams be a starting running back on another team? Possibly, yeah. About on 10, 15 teams in the league. Sure, probably.
He's not Eckler. He could start.
Eckler could be the starting running back on 29 other teams in this league. You know, it's like,
29 may be a stretch, but he's better than Williams. Yeah. Though Williams did get the touchdown catch, which...
I am not complaining about Williams. He also had a really good run where he, popped three dudes.
Yeah,
for like a
I'm not complaining run. Either because Williams did a great thing for me this week, which was he scored 13.9 points in my fantasy league game against what's his name? Aaron Flottam. So I appreciated him catching that late touchdown pass, which was a meaningless touchdown pass.
How are we doing right now, by the way?
It is a 9-point game between you and I. We are the two, by the way, just because everyone cares about my fantasy team. And your fantasy team, as much as they care about their own. Aaron and I are in what is an 8.5-point game right now, and we are the two highest scoring teams in the league. Two of the three highest scoring teams in the league right now.
Yeah, I was going to say somebody else is up there in the one.
My brother Dan and his F.I. Barnett, because he's a fib. He lives in Peoria.
How did my tight end go from 11 points to 7?
He never had 11.
He has 7. That's right. Oh, no, that's right.
This is good. Everybody's enjoying this. But here's the big thing is that the Packers got to this point here where they finally had this road game, and it looks like
Gibbs
didn't have a good enough.
Everybody.
Everybody five stars. they finally had a game where they had a long road trip, a distance to travel. They had to go someplace else, and it looks like they didn't have a good enough plan for what to do with all this downtime in a place where they should have a real plan for what. When do people need to be back? Where do you have to be at this time? Where are the places right. you shouldn't go? What are the things you need to do? What is everything that needs to happen on this road trip? And this yeah. is where having a first-year head coach is the thing that hurts you. And right.
He didn't deny it either. Aaron Rodgers called it out. You got to remember the whole thing about Za'Darius Smith with the weed charges came out this week too.
It was a citation.
Yeah, it was just a citation. And actually, you know what? I don't think he was the one that had the weed. I think he took the blame for somebody else because he's that good of a teammate. Because
there were other Packers in the car, yes.
Right. Gary was in the car and
technically, let me explain something to everybody here. I'm an attorney. Here's how possession works in the state of Wisconsin. Possession means the ability to exercise control over a thing. Mm-hmm. If, here's the classic example, you walk into a hotel room and there's cocaine on a table and seven people standing around the table. Every one of them is currently possessing the cocaine.
Right.
That's how that works, is everybody has the ability to exercise control over a thing. It's there. You don't have to have it in your hand. Right. Also, the difference between a citation and a misdemeanor and a felony. Citation is a non-criminal offense. You cannot go to jail. It's just a mm-hmm. citation. It's a speeding ticket is a citation. Mm-hmm. A forfeiture is what they call it, because a forfeiture is a non-criminal fine. A fine is a criminal fine. So forfeiture right. means money. Fine means money on a criminal sense. A misdemeanor, you can go to jail. A felony, you can go to prison. Prison and jail are two different things, because they never get that right on ESPN. They never get that right on ESPN. Prison and jail are two different things. Jail is under a year or less. Prison is anything over a year.
So
there's my pet peeves for the day.
That said all about that. Oh, sorry. Were you going to go on from that one?
Oh, no, I could go on for days, but I won't.
I know you could, but I was just going to say, so they had all that. Aaron Rodgers called it out too. And Matt LaFleur today did not back away during his press conference, because that was right up front. They asked about Aaron Rodgers saying, were there guys maybe that were out late on Friday night? And he's like, nobody missed curfew. And he's like, all right, do you think the focus was gone? And Matt LaFleur, he manned up. He really did. And said, we learned. Good. I'm going to learn from this. The whole staff's going to learn. Everybody's going to learn.
Yeah, the thing is, it's more his learning curve than anybody else's.
He didn't back away from it. That's the best part about it. Was like, I'm not sure time zone this day. He's like, he flat out answered the question. It's like, no, we're. Something was wrong. Something was wrong, and we got to go back out to the West Coast in 2 weeks, and it won't happen again.
That's the biggest thing. He has to learn from this, and he has to take the full responsibility for this, because this was a coaching issue. The team was completely ill-prepared to play. Rodgers wasn't accurate. There was something else, just like he was not there. There were several about 5 to 7 yard outs that he bounced the ball. Bounce the ball to people, and it's just not something that can happen.
It could be Bosa and Melvin up in his face all game long.
And that's the other thing. That's part of your plan. You have to say that if you have Ingram and you have Bosa, you have to get rid of the ball quickly. You have to get rid of the ball very quickly. You should do, if you look at what the Chargers did to the Packers, there were not a lot of deep balls thrown. It was not a Stafford-type offense. Rivers was throwing the ball quickly. He was throwing the ball. He was out of his hands. It was 5, 7 yards, 7 yards here, 9 yards there, 5 yards here. It was just quick and out of his hands. And he let his playmakers make plays after the ball was out, because they understand that the Packers have a very good pass rush, and they never touched him. Well, they hit him a couple times after he was letting the ball go, but they didn't get a sack of him, if I recall correctly. And a lot of that was just, he was getting rid of the ball very quickly. They said, they have two great pass rushers and a good nose tackle. We need to get rid of this ball very fast in order to get the plays to be successful. We need to set ourselves up to have manageable second and third downs. And on the first couple drives, they were not converting third downs very well, but they did not get to third down on a lot of plays, because they were able to make these quick plays. And we were playing off enough that it worked. That second drive, they had a crossing route where just Jair Alexander did not stay with his guy across the field. I mean, he was there. He saw him going, but he mm-hmm. could not keep up with him enough, and it turned into a gigantic play that almost was a touchdown, mm-hmm. other than that he got pushed out of bounds late. Nobody played particularly. There were no heroes in this game.
No.
There were no heroes in this game. Aaron Jones didn't get anything going in the running game. Jamal Williams caught a touchdown pass, which saved his, for me, fantasy value. But we did not have big plays.
Jamal Williams had a couple okay runs, like
yeah.
in bare time. So I'll give him a couple.
There were a couple runs by a lot of people. There were a couple yeah. okay catches by a lot of people. There were 11 targets of Davante Adams, of which several of which he could never have gotten his hands to had he wanted to.
There was something wrong. Maybe Aaron Rodgers was calling himself out during the post game, because I don't know. I mean,
it's a game where there was not a single thing that went right. And the biggest thing that really frustrated me in terms of the play call, like, first off, the number of deep balls that happened, some of that is just Aaron deciding that he needs to make a big play. Some of it is, because there were shorter pass options open, or at least available. I don't know that they were always open. I haven't looked at the old 22. They were available.
Oh, you haven't?
Okay. No, I haven't. I've paid for the old 22. I haven't watched it this week yet, though. It's Monday night.
Oh my God, they're not always. You're so pretentious.
How dare you? How dare you? I am offended.
I have a little theory about that too, though. Is that like those games, like right off the bat, you know? So the Packers decided to kick right off the bat,
yeah.
and then they gave up two long drives, really long drives that only resulted in field goals. But yeah. that first drive took up over half of the first quarter, right?
Yeah, it was a crazy amount of time and possession had to have been ridiculous. Let me take a look at the final.
No facts needed here, no figures needed. We just talked, but I've noticed that we've been watching Aaron Rodgers for the better part of a decade and a half. Like when that happens, like he does actually start making stupid mistakes, like just starting to huck the ball downfield. Like he's gonna win it all in a couple throws. You know,
yeah, so he tries to hero ball a little bit.
Right, because he can throw the hero ball, but guess what? The receivers may not be able to run to where you think, because he's probably throwing it right to where he wants it to be. But guess what? There's other humans involved. Like, yeah,
like 10 other humans at least on your team alone.
Right, I was listening to them crucifying Kirk Cousins on the Fan,
which is fun.
When I was listening to Schadenfreude the other day, because he overthrew Diggs mm-hmm. on a play that was about 56 yards downfield, and he overthrew him by about 3 inches. And Corey Cove brought it up on the morning show this morning. He's like, I don't know how you do that. How can you blame that on the quarterback? That ball is 56 yards downfield. He missed him by 3 inches. How is that only the quarterback's fault? Why didn't the wide receiver run faster for one step? Like, you can't, you know. Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm vamping. Anyways.
Yeah, it was the biggest part of what you said is that the Packers failed to get an opportunity here to make up a game on the entire division. I mean, the good part is that you didn't lose anything. You're basically just right where you were because everybody else fell away. There's only so many chances that you get to make up a game on the entire division. I mean, I think the Bears and the Lions are going to kind of start falling away, but we needed to take the opportunity to get a game on the Vikings. I guess I don't have the Vikings schedule in front of me, but I know the Packers are going to have to go play Carolina, and the Packers aren't good at stopping the run necessarily all that well, and they're going to face the best running back in football right now.
Right.
Other than Dalvin Cook, I guess I would put Christian McCaffrey ahead of him in the fact that he does everything. He just is. He's everywhere. He's the only running back in the MVP conversation right now. No, well, in the MVP conversation.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I was going to say, Delvin does a pretty good job.
No, he does. He just hasn't actually put up the numbers as well as Christian McCaffrey has this year. He can do it all. So I'm not trying to downgrade Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is amazing. He has been great.
I really wish the Packers would have gotten him. could have in the second round.
Yeah, we couldn't have gotten anywhere. No, he was a first round pick, wasn't he?
No, he was a second round pick.
Was he? Okay.
Remember, he had issues in college.
Like, yeah. Yeah, at Florida State. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, of course, he went to Florida State, so yeah, he had issues.
Free Seafood University.
Oh, they fired Florida State fired their coach today, Taggart.
Yeah, they had to pay a $20 million payout on him, something like that.
Yeah, they were saying that
people are talking about PJ Fleck will be the guy who goes down there.
Anyways, so the Vikings play the Cowboys and the Broncos the next 2 weeks at Vikings on Sunday Night Football next week, which will be that'll be telling. The Vikings also lost to the Chiefs, Mahomes-less Chiefs, and we heard that a lot as Packers fans last week that. Oh, you just beat the Chiefs because they didn't have Mahomes. We're going to go stomp.
It helped. It definitely helped that we didn't have Mahomes.
Oh, it definitely. Yeah, absolutely it did. It also helped that Aaron Rodgers can throw a 50-yard bomb off his knees as he's getting sacked to the back corner of the end zone. And, oh, it just happens to be Jamal Williams there. Anyways.
That was nice for me as well.
So they play at the Cowboys. Then they play home against the Broncos, which you figure they're going to win. But that's. The Vikings are good for one game every year where they just they might have already
do what the Packers did just this last week.
Last year against the Bills. Remember how they got blown out by the Bills at home?
Oh, yeah.
And Jake Allen ran for like 500-600 yards and 90 touchdowns or whatever. It was just stupid. And so, you know, maybe they already did that in losing at Chicago, but the Vikings always lose at Chicago. So the Broncos game at the Vikings might be, you know, either the Vikings are going to be 13-3 or they're going to be 6-10. That's how they work. So they play the Broncos at the Vikings, then the Vikings have to go to Seattle after the bye week.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then home against the Lions, at the Chargers, home against the Packers, home against the Vikings to end the season. So they have all
they can't go home against the Vikings. They are the Vikings. But anyhow.
Oh, no, home against the Bears. Sorry, I meant home against the Bears. They have the same schedule as the Packers, just all
combined. Yeah, with a couple different things in that. They finished second in the division as opposed to fourth. Did we finish fourth last year?
Do we still have to play the Seahawks?
I don't think we do. No. Because you have to play every team that finishes the same spot as you in NFC.
We play all the same AFC teams, though. That's what it
is. Yeah, we do. And so we went 3-1 against the AFC West.
Yeah.
3-1, so we're done with that.
The other thing about I almost said another bad word, but about Vikings fans is that they're like, well, we're going to win the division. And I just have to stop and think, I'm like, well, the Packers are still 3-0 in the division. They're like, yeah, well, we'll have at least the same record as the Packers at the end. The Vikings are currently 1-2 in the division.
Well, they figure they're going to beat us, and we might lose to Detroit. Losing on the road to Detroit isn't the biggest thing. Here's the big thing that has to happen next, and the team needs to focus on this. The Packers are going to play Carolina next week, and they get them at home. Right now, ESPN has them as a 75.8% favorite to win that game. Allen will still be the quarterback. McCaffrey is still back there, and he is definitely in the MVP conversation as much, if not more so, than Aaron Rodgers. I would say more so. At this point, I think
they're more dangerous than
I think I would put him there. Yeah, it seems that way. They don't have a ton of a passing game. They really just don't. Allen is not. He doesn't scare you, right? I mean, like, Kyle Allen is a guy.
Well, Cam hasn't been relevant.
No, I'm not saying that Cam's necessarily there, but I mean, like, he's definitely not playing, but Kyle Allen is a guy. He's just a guy. Did he go to Kentucky? Where did he play football? Houston, I'm sorry. He went to Houston.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum is a better option than Kyle Allen.
Christian McCaffrey is.
But they win with him. That's the thing is that Christian McCaffrey is so good. We have not been able to stop guys like this. The passing game of the backfield hurts
us. Ed McCaffrey used to torture us when he was a wide receiver in Denver. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if his son would here.
He's a pretty good announcer, by the way. He's a good color guy on the Broncos games.
Hey, by the way, speaking of color announcers, Tony Romo did a really good job of selling that Packer game yesterday, all the way down to about a minute. Like, all right, the Packers, if they can get them, it was like, it was like Bob Uecker with, if we can get a couple grand salamis here and we're back into this game. Like, he was literally like, with 1 minute left here, well, if Rodgers gets a Hail Mary here and they get an onsides and then throws another Hail Mary, hey, the Packers could win this game. It's like, come on, Tony. Like, I love you. But, I mean, he's a Packers fan at heart, too. You know that, right?
Because he's
like,
from Burlington?
Burlington, yeah. That's about 20 miles.
I don't know. We ended a lot of his seasons, so I don't know.
Right, exactly. But, I mean,
here's the thing. Packers get a chance this week with Carolina at home. That should be one where we have a good chance of it, they need to have a bounce-back game here. If they can do that, they can get to 8-2. Mm-hmm. They got the 49ers in San Francisco. They need to quickly learn from what went completely wrong in LA, because they really did. It went completely wrong, and the 49ers have a better pass rush. They have a better front four. The Chargers have a better top two pass rushers. San Francisco there, they have a better front four, and they're going to get after it. So you need to have a better game plan for that game. Those are our next two games.
Well, and
the Packers get to play the Giants in New York, and they should win that game. The Giants are bad, but the definition of dumpster fire right now is the Washington team here, and we get to play them in Lambeau after that. But then they have to play the Bears at home, at Vikings, at Lions to end the season.
Why is it that the Packers get all? I mean, I know it's all ratings driven. And they want to see these games at the beginning of the year. Literally, the Packers play all their division games in the first 3 weeks.
They really do plan that. That's something where the NFL does plan to have division games on the stretch.
I mean, take note, Vikings, Bears, and Lions fans. You guys play division games in the middle of the season because nobody cares about your teams. The reason why the Packers had to play the Bears week one, Vikings week two, and Lions week, six, because nobody cares about the Lions. But, I mean, everyone wants to see the Bears.
What? How dare you? Yeah.
So, the last time I saw the Packers play the Lions was at the end of the 2008-09 season.
Wait, how did that one end?
What was the team that's been 0-16 now since then?
I don't know, but unfortunately, there will be no teams going 0-16 this year, as the Dolphins failed.
Oh no,
failed
John,
this week to completely ruin the entire season.
John, that has been corrected a couple times today because it got lost in the wash. Because one team was on a bye this week that is still winless.
Really? Oh, I guess I missed that. I'm only thinking about the Dolphins.
A team from Ohio.
Oh, the Bengals not won?
No, they're still winless. They just had a bye this week, so nobody noticed that they're still winless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest takeaway from this entire week with the Packers is that they blew this game. They completely failed to be prepared for this game, and that's a planning thing, and that's a coaching thing. But I'm not going to get down on the floor for that yet. He has to learn from this, but I'm not going to get down on him for the fact that he's had his first big West Coast swing. Let's see how he learns from this. Let's see how he grows. The team is 7-2. We cannot massively overreact to this game. We have to try to see what he learns from this and how he takes this going forward in the next couple of years. I mean, in 2 weeks from now, or two games from now at least, they're going to go play in San Francisco. That game is going to be way harder than playing. I mean, it's a better stadium, but it's going to be way harder than playing in L.A. against the Chargers, who are 3-5, and a team getting better. But everybody needs to stop it on Twitter saying, like, trying to find ways to down-talk the 49ers. The 49ers are a legitimate team.
No, they're good.
Defense is great, and Garoppolo is good enough to get things done. They have a decent enough wide receiver core. And they have good running backs. They have like three running backs who can all play. McKinnon and Breda. And I mean, like, seriously, they've got a decent enough offense. They can put up enough points.
Coleman's the fastest one out of the bunch. So.
Yeah. And Tevin Coleman.
That Tevin Coleman was good for 40, fantasy points last week. So
yeah, that's a legitimate team. That team, you need to consider them the front runners right now. And I know that there's a lot of people on Twitter trying to find a way, as Packers Twitter is going, to try to down talk this 49ers team. That's the class of the NFC right now. That is the best team. The
Packers are 3 or 4. I mean, and then the Saints now with Breeze back.
I mean, yeah, they've looked great. And it's good to see.
And the kryptonite that is Seattle, like I would put the Packers 4.
Yeah, those are my two. The two names I put up for MVP right now are Danger Russell Wilson, I guess, and Christian McCaffrey. We're gonna have to play Christian McCaffrey next week.
And after yesterday, Danger Russ is running away with it. He's
so good right now. He's having the best season of his career. That team is really good.
He's Aaron Rodgers run the table right now. Like, it's stupid. Like. Yeah,
they're going to have some games against the 49ers coming up yet, but that team is good. The 49ers are good. They're really good. Stop trying to say they aren't. Admit what you're watching is a good team beating the teams they're supposed to beat. The Packers didn't beat the team they were supposed to beat this week, and that's what's going to hurt them down the stretch. They're going to be a playoff team, but they didn't beat a team they should have beaten this week.
Right, and so that happens every year. A little bit of vamping real quick. First of all, the Panthers game this next week, I think the Packers are going to win. It's going to be close, and only because of the embarrassment of what happened. And the nice thing about going into San Francisco is that it's going to be off a bye week, which we're not the Minnesota Vikings, knock on wood, so we won't have players rested on our bye week. And then, you just said something else too. I was trying to get to it. Dang.
I don't know what it was that I was saying.
It was about Russ Wilson and dang. I lost it. Sorry.
Anyways, biggest thing is that I think the Packers bounce back this week. I think they have a good chance here, and I think they're gonna have a better setup this week, and I think being at home is gonna help them a lot.
I know what I was gonna say, John. I think Aaron Rodgers is still playing the part that he's like. He made a couple crazy throws and some audibles in Kansas City, but you could kind of see that he is still just playing the part of. So when I moved down here to Janesville and I had to take over the company down here, like, we got a new commander soon after I came down here, and that commander wanted to put a whole bunch of new policies in place and stuff like that, and it was just like, but here's what works. All right, I'm the rock star, but you go ahead and you just go ahead and tell me what you're going to do here, and I'll roll with it for a little bit, and we'll come back and review this after 6 months. And I think Aaron Rodgers, I really do think that he is really doing that right now. Like, he's kind of playing the part right now. Like, I'm just feeling this out. This is all new for everybody, and he's smart. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not dumb. Like, he's a very smart man, and maybe he's just still. We talked about this. Let's go back about 5 podcasts ago or 6 podcasts ago at the beginning of the season. Like, he's still just feeling this out. Like, he kind of knows what's going on, and he can improvise some stuff. But I still do think at the same time that he is just not trying to get hurt and just trying to figure this all out.
I think the biggest thing for next week, I'm looking at the DVOA, which, if you aren't following Football Outsiders, DVOA is a massively important source of statistic. Trying to get that all out. The Carolina Panthers right now are third DVOA, their fifth overall in DVOA defense, fifth overall, third in pass defense, but 32nd in run DVOA. This is a game where Aaron Jones needs to show up, Jamal Williams needs to show up, and they need to have a big game to try to help this team through here. I also think that the short passing game is going to be much more effective. And that's something that they need to focus on, trying to find the ways to get that short game involved. And like the thing I like to say, and I don't know if I said it enough on this podcast, is there's not a good play that ends with the quarterback with the quarterback still having the ball in his hands. There's very few, at least.
Right.
Sometimes Rodgers in there, you have a run that ends with him having the ball in his hands. You know, with Kirk Cousins, of course, the ball ends with him, sliding to the ground short of the first down on third down. But with Rodgers, mostly he's getting first downs. In this game, though, there are very few times where having the ball in the quarterback's hand at the end of the play is a good thing. Get the ball out of his hands. He's got to throw shorter. He's got to get the ball downfield. They've got a very good sort of rush. They've got a very good linebacking core. They can come after Rodgers, get the ball out of his hands, get the ball downfield, run a lot against this team, and try to get after him on that in that sort of setup. And that's how the Packers are going to win this week, is Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are going to have to be very much involved in this game.
Right.
We spent a lot of time on this game. Let's talk quickly about the Bucs. Let's talk about the Bucs. The Bucs.
Well, they won. They won tonight, by the way.
Yeah, they walked away from Minnesota tonight.
134-106. It was a little tight at halftime. I can get some stats here. I mean, the Bucs are now 5-2. What's been proven is that it is a true fact that, and everyone knew this was coming. The Bucs were kind of a surprise last year. The big step that Giannis took, and like they just kind of run roughshod on the East until they ran into the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard in the finals. Two games in, but they're gonna have a target on their back, and at the Target Center tonight, the game was. See what I did there? The game was game was delayed almost 50 minutes because they found a bent rim, and the referee said, we can't play. So they had to tear down the whole backboard. And so the game that was started at 7 o'clock started at 8 o'clock. So this game would have been done before we recorded, but because of that, NBA, I love you. You have all the real feels when it comes to problems. But they ended up walking away 134-106. So like I said, now in the standings, where are they at? So
I don't know. The biggest things for me is that, I mean, they beat some of their bugaboos. They beat the Magic. They lost to the Heat, which is a team that they had last year.
Out of nowhere, with Jimmy Butler was out of the lineup too. That was kind of weird, but yeah.
But they beat the Raptors, which is not the same Raptors, obviously. Right. But they had a winning record against the Raptors last year, and then still ended up losing the finals because, you know.
Well, they came out right off the bat and beat Houston. I mean, so that's
Houston.
Because that's how you say Houston. It's not Houston. It's Houston.
Tay-Chass. Yes. They beat the Rockets to start off.
They've crawled out the gates at 4-3.
They lost in overtime after, like we talked about the other week, they got a big play from Giannis to get them into overtime. They lost to the Heat. They beat the Cavaliers. They lost to the Celtics, and the Celtics-Bucks are probably going to be the biggest thing in the East this year, I think.
Yeah.
The Celtics look pretty decent at this point. They beat the Magic. They beat the Raptors. They beat the Timberwolves to get the three straight wins.
I'm going to be honest with our listeners right now. Is that
I'm Do you lie to them normally?
No. I'm going to be full-frontally honest to our friends that are in Estonia, and where are they at now?
Ukraine and Austria are big areas of.
Oh, okay. And so, hello, Eastern Europe. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm
from Bulgaria.
Anyways, yes, my friends,
some of my best friends. My best friends in college were from Bulgaria. Anyways, telling me I have to get to the Black Sea, but they haven't been back there since I left, so I don't know what to do. So what was I getting at here?
Nobody knows. Not really. You were talking about the Black Sea. You were talking about your friends in Bulgaria and about the Bucks.
The Bucks.
This is going really well.
This is downhill for me real quick.
It's Greece, which is on the way if you take a boat to the Black Sea.
I said, to be perfectly honest, I can't get too involved in the beginning of the NBA season. I'm sorry.
No, I have a hard time.
Oh, I can't. It's so hard because especially when it's during NFL and like last year when the Brewers were making a late push, like that was right through the beginning of the part of the beginning part of the NBA season. Like I can't, I'm sorry, I can't be fully vested into NBA yet. So I'm glad that the Bucks are a good team, because that's part of the problem. That was part of the sports abyss that we would have after football season would end. It was like, well, the Bucks are 17-43. What's worth talking about that? So I'm happy to have the Bucks, and I will take more care of my paying attention to the Bucks going forward. But for right now, we're in the middle of college football and college NFL and everything else. So I will do a much better job going forward in the second half of the season. Thank you, John. Go away.
Biggest thing is, like, they're doing the things they kind of should do. They haven't looked quite as impressive as a start from last year. I mean, maybe the biggest part of that is after getting through a full long season last year with that great record, they kind of realized it didn't much matter all the way through the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the biggest thing I guess I would take away from it is, and you're like, well,
it's a LeBron factor.
Yeah, I mean,
you
like,
know, why, or the Popovich factor? Why kill yourself through the season to get that number one overall spot when I could just get the number three overall spot and still be in the conference finals?
Yeah, I mean, it's more about are you winning? Are you finding ways to get to the spot where you're going to be ready at the end of the year to be fully prepared to set yourself up to win those last couple games? Did we spend too much time last year making sure that Giannis was the MVP before making sure that he was well enough rested to win the other stuff? Right. I don't know if that's the
absolutely.
I don't know if that's the final point you take from the season from last year's is that, but I mean, like he seemed to have rested a fair amount. Well,
whatever it takes to have a career like LeBron James, you need to do it. Because rest when you need to rest. Whatever you look at that schedule, that time frame and everything else like that, whatever it took to get him to be this healthy for that long. I mean, last year LeBron was not healthy, and it was because he moved to LA and had to try and carry a new team. You know, it's, you know, whatever it takes to, you know, we've got an all-star, you know, just get him to the playoffs above the fourth seed and let it go. Because I mean, that works. And I mean, you see what happens when you burn out your players with Golden State right now. I mean, Clay's out, Steph's out. I mean, they've been running that Draymond's out now too, I think. So
that
team's been pedal to the floor for 4 years, has two titles, and that team's gonna fall apart. It's gonna absolutely fall apart. So
two of the last four, or is it three of the last five? I'm trying to remember.
They lost last year.
Yeah, they lost last year. They lost to Cleveland once. Did they win three of the last five though? Right. I'm sorry. I think that's the correct answer, actually.
Well, now you talk, and I'm gonna Google that.
Yeah, it's difficult because I mean, if we talk about Wisconsin sports, it's going to be Packers first, then Badgers football, then we're going to talk about the Brewers, and if we had everything going at the same time, it's going to be Packers, then Badgers football, the Brewers, Badgers basketball, and then probably to the Bucks, and then maybe Badgers hockey. So it's like once we get to that sort of thing, especially when we're talking about the NBA in games that don't involve the Bucks. Then really nobody cares in this state.
Yeah, no. I'm glad we had an on-air production meeting right there. So,
we're not talking about the rest of those teams. The Bucks get to play the Clippers coming up next, which should be super exciting as they get to face basically the player that eliminated them from the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So that's something at least. Then they get the Jazz and the Thunder, who have traded away every player you've ever heard of. And then the Bulls, which I love to watch the Bucks beat the Bulls because I still don't like the Bulls from Michael Jordan and all of that. Full disclosure, which I don't have to tell you full disclosure because whatever. It's not like I've been hiding things from you.
It's a but podcast.
I don't like, I didn't much care for watching Michael Jordan. He was a phenomenal athlete. He was incredibly great. And one of the top three or four players ever. I mean, you have to, if you don't put Wilt in the conversation, if you don't put Magic in the conversation, if you refuse to acknowledge that Kareem is part of the conversation for best of all times, then you're too dumb to be in the conversation. There's right. a conversation about greatest NBA player of all time. And, you know, Magic, you know, I would say Jordan has to be in it. You can't not have him in the conversation. But if you say that he's the only part of the conversation, you weren't paying attention. And I was a Bucks fan watching Jordan, and I hated watching Jordan beat up on the Bucks. So I still well, like that, beating the Bulls. That,
but between the Celtics and the Bucks, there was a lot of good 80s and early 90s teams for the Bucks that didn't get anywhere because of those teams. So. And I figured out, I was just looking up the thank you, Wikipedia. I donate money to you. But so the first ever NBA champion was the Philadelphia Warriors, and then the Minneapolis Lakers proceeded to win five of the next seven championships. And so I'm starting to think, with all the Gophers winning back in the day, and for football, and all the hockey winning back in the day,
hockey.
And the Minneapolis Lakers, who won a lot with what was his name?
I don't know.
Lucan, the big guy with glasses. He was the most popular player in basketball for the longest time. Big, tall, white guy.
Cool.
Anyways, so I know why Minnesota fans are so stupid now, because all their parents were used to winning. And then, of course, Boston Celtics won a bunch, and then. And there we go. There's more Boston Celtics, more LA Lakers. Oh, Boston Celtics and LA Lakers won. I think the reason why everyone was so big fan of Michael Jordan was because the Boston Celtics and LA Lakers weren't winning championships. So, anyways, I'm scrolling down here. So, Golden State's won three out of the last five and have been five straight NBA championships.
Yeah. Okay. That'll end it for our Bucks coverage. The only things we're going to briefly touch the fact that there was actually Brewers news this week. Biggest things here, Lorenzo Cain finally gets his gold glove, which he should have had for the last 5 years. He should have been the gold glove winner at center field. It's ridiculous he hasn't.
Should have been. Even back in Kansas City, should have been the
glove. Yes. No, absolutely. He was amazing. Brewers pick up the option of Manny Pena, the pineapple himself.
Yep.
And, of course, his name is actually not Emmanuel. It's just Manuel Pina. So it isn't God is with us. It's just Manuel Pineapple. The Brewers made a trade this week with Toronto, or as they'd say there, Toronto.
Toronto.
Chase Anderson.
That's how I know I'm from northern Minnesota. Toronto.
Well, actually, in Toronto, they say it that way, too. So I know we're correct.
Canada.
Yeah, Chase Anderson was traded for Chad Spanberger, which, by the way, if your name is Spanberger, you should play in Milwaukee for the Brewers. He's a first baseman for the most part, and a couple other things. Also, the Brewers did not pick up the option on Thames, so he is now officially a free agent. I would really hope for the Brewers at this point that they would at least still be talking to him in terms of setting up a new contract. Maybe what they had wasn't good enough, but I guess my thought is that Stearns is thinking that he's just not bringing him back if he's letting him go at this point.
They bit the bullet on $1 million buyout because he was making $6.5 million a year. I don't know if he's worth $6.5 million to anybody else, but I think the Brewers are probably planning they can buy him back on a 1 year contract. The Brewers are clearing a lot right now because I think they're going to try and knock down Yasmani Grandal to a multi-year contract.
There's a lot of pitching arms out there, too. So there's a chance some of that's coming up here. That's all
they have. They need a GD starter. I'm serious. They need someone who can eat up some innings. Like, I know Craig
Golf Delta.
He's made miracles out of the pitching staff, but it was proven by the two teams that got to the World Series this year. You need some arms.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really all we have for Brewers talk this week.
I mean,
just
three good starters and a whole bunch of fire in the bullpen. Just that's, I mean, you can get one arm, but you got to get something that gets you to the bullpen. You can't do a bullpen game every time.
Aaron, let's just be done with this.
I know
let's
you need to be Fonda. You got to get to Fond du Lac.
We got to, we got things to do. I have an early morning drive to Fond du Lac, and we're going to get going here with our last thing that we have to do, which is our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Aaron, the couple things that I want to bring up here are just last call notes. First off, the Badgers got swept this week in men's hockey by Penn State. They now dropped to number 12 in the USCHO, which is the U.S. College Hockey Online poll. Badgers women actually dropped to number 2 now. They had a loss and a tie playing in Minnesota. So, you know, the Gophers women team had a very good good series there. They took one and they tied in the other one. So there you go. Number 1 versus number 4 in Division 3 men's hockey, which is UW Stevens Point versus St. Norbert's in De Pere. They split. They had a home-and-home series, it looks like. One in Stevens Point at the Madhouse on Minnesota Ave and the other one in De Pere. The team split, which, by the way, is the first loss for Stevens Point in a long time because they lost exactly 0 games last year. They had the first undefeated Division III men's hockey champion in history. So they got a split, 1-4. They got a split there. That's decent for both teams. Both teams looking very good to start off the year. We'll see how that plays out as the season goes on. The one weird thing I kind of want to talk about in my last call here is Jimmy Garoppolo in the Thursday night game. San Francisco wins to go to 8-0, I believe, at this point. They had their bye week already. At the end of it, he gets an interview with Aaron Andrews. Did you see this, Aaron? I don't know if you saw this. At the end of the interview, he says something like, "Thanks, babe," to Aaron Andrews, who, by the way, has been a professional journalist longer than he's been a professional anything. She's been covering football, talking football, doing football talk shows, going on 7 days a week talking about professional football and college football for quite a long time. And she's very good at what she does. She's not, for whatever you want to say about Aaron Andrews, she understands the game of football and she does a very good job. She does not deserve to have Jimmy Garoppolo calling her babe during an interview. It's a ridiculous thing for him to have done, and it's a bad look. It just is. And the people on Twitter who think it's cool of him to have done that, that's a bad look, man. He's talking to a professional, a person who is really good at what she does and is in high demand for the thing that she does, which is cover sports. She covers football specifically. And she really knows what she's talking about. And she may have laughed it off. That was a ridiculous move by you, Jimmy Garoppolo. And I hope that you only get interviewed by men from here on out so that you don't, you can't just play off this frat boy image. You have to actually answer the questions. And you don't get to just act like you were some cool frat bro at the end of your interviews. Erin Andrews is good at her job. She's really good at her job. And I don't understand that at all. Aaron, do you have anything else you want to add at the end of the show here today?
Nah, I was just going to say that thing about Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I didn't take it off much as that because there's probably inside conversations between, you know, them. It might have been a joke. Like, maybe that's why she laughed it off. Like, I get it. I mean, he's a high-level quarterback. He's been around the league for a while. Maybe they've had some other conversations. Maybe that was a joke. Like, every time I see Aaron Andrews interview Aaron Rodgers, were a thing for a while, I was like, "Oh, you could cut the sexual tension here." That's because the first thing I think is like, I wouldn't want my ex interviewing me for anything. Like, you know, but if they
well,
have
not
to,
you.
They have to be professionals. I don't know. Garoppolo has a lot more. He gets a lot more pull around the league than he should, because he really hasn't done anything yet except for be Tom Brady's backup and make things weird up in New England where they were potentially going to release Tom Brady. But I don't know. I don't have anything. I pretty much sprinkled my thoughts throughout the show about other things. So
you definitely have done a good job.
Oh yeah. I was pretty sporadic. I had the shotgun spray throughout the show.
All right. The only other important thing that I think that all of our listeners need to know is that apparently, officially, I have beaten Aaron Flottam in the OIF Vets and the rest.
Son of a good man with the last.
He is a good man. My father is a good man, and he listens to the show every week and gives me tips. So we always appreciate that. But my team has been god-awful this year, and so I'm very thankful to beat the third-seeded and division-leading. Division-leading.
You were the Chargers this week, and I was the Packers.
You were. Yes. You were a division leader, and you probably will still be a division leader at the end of this week, but I'm trying to climb back into playoff contention. You had Russ Wilson, and still it looks like I'm going to win this week.
Russ Wilson and Lockett scored 4 points.
Yeah, it was crazy what they did. You and I have the second and third highest scoring teams in this league, and I will give the shout out to my brother Dan, who had the highest scoring team in our league this week, as he beats your wife.
TDJ has gone downhill. He was really running roughshod.
That's my wife's cousin who is leading that division right now. It's a 16 team, half PPR, IDP league where we play a lot. And my brother Dan is playing very well. And he just beat Ha Ha Holly Rocks, which is perhaps the best name in our division in our entire league, other than maybe Reed M and Weep. Which is Emily Barnett's team, my sister-in-law, which is a great name.
And Ha Ha Holly Rocks is my wife, who is a former champion and was runner-up last year.
Yes.
And she is having a bad season.
Her and the team that won last year are 15 and 16 in our league right now.
Yes, they are.
Anyhow, thank you again for joining us for a wonderful week of nonsense and mayhem as we move ourselves through the season. Thank you for listening to us vent about this Packers loss and everything. It just went haywire for everything. Again, you can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. You can go to our website at ScottyJohnny.com. And of course, you can find us on Facebook. But the biggest thing you need to remember is that whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
You've got a long drive
tomorrow. Yeah, I do.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at Scotty Johnny 1 or online.